The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Joe Malloy in for Kieran Cuddihy this evening. We're going to turn to the US presidential election. Joe Biden is a busy man. He is very much maintaining he's going to stay in the presidential race despite increasingly, and we're talking everybody from George Clooney to Democrats, people calling for him to end his campaign. So Biden was at the NATO summit in Washington this week, gave a press conference last night. The situation's in Ukraine and to a lesser extent, if we're being frank about it, the Middle East were to the fore. And he spoke for 58 minutes to the press, including 50 minutes of which were unscripted Q&A. And I presume at this stage you've seen the gaffes, and we'll play those gaffes now around misidentifying President Zelensky and his vice president Harris. However, it wasn't disastrous, is the other thing, from people in the room, and we'll speak to somebody in the room. There were huge chunks of it which were reasonable under the circumstances. So here's a sense of Biden last night at the NATO summit in Washington.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one, the fact is that the consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again. I'm ready to deal with him now and 3 years from now. Look, like I said, I'm dealing with Xi right now and direct contact with him. I have no good reason to talk to Putin right now. There's not much that he is prepared to do in terms of accommodating any change in his behavior. And but there isn't any world leader I'm not prepared to deal with. But I understand the generic point. Is Putin ready to talk? I'm not ready to talk to Putin unless Putin's ready to change his behavior. I've taken three significant and intense neurological exams by a neurologist. In each case, as recently as February, and they say I'm in good shape, okay? Although I do have a little problem with my left foot because it's not as sensitive because I broke my foot and didn't wear the boot, but I'm good. I've got to finish this job. I've got to finish this job because there's so much at stake. And if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore.
You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me. No one's saying that. No poll says that.
So there you go. It's a sense of Biden last night. Again, this was across an hour speaking to the media at the NATO summit yesterday in Washington. Very happy to say somebody who was in the room, Anthony Zurcher, is the BBC's North American correspondent. Hi, Anthony.
Hello there.
May you live in interesting times. This election's interesting.
Definitely interesting. You know, it had been a relatively stable election, even with all the drama, Donald Trump's legal troubles. But the polls were relatively stable. And here we are again with a new round of drama. We'll have to see whether that turns things around or shakes things up or if people stick in their camps.
I know Joe Biden spoke for the guts of an hour with maybe 50 minutes or so of unscripted questions and answers. And I watched some of his performance, and we wanted to reflect that in the clip we've just played. Some of it was cogent and reasonable in the context of an 81-year-old. And then, of course, there were the two gaffes, which are the things that have travelled and made headline news around the world. You were there, which is, you know, it's great to talk to you. You had a sense of how he performed. What would you tell us?
Obviously, he stumbled out of the gate at that press conference with the Kamala Harris Trump vice president reference. And you could hear murmurs among the gathered crowd of reporters in that room as he did it. And unlike the Zelensky mistake he made earlier in the evening, he didn't instantly correct that. But after that, it was a relatively solid, stable performance, different than his debate performance 2 weeks ago. He spoke in full sentences. He had clear points he made, particularly on foreign policy, which is an area of his expertise for him. Obviously, that's a very low bar to try to get across. But Joe Biden, for most of those 60 minutes, did keep it together, did present the kind of front that I think his campaign wants to show, that he's not the senile old man that has been portrayed in some corners of the media, and which I think a lot of Americans were worried about after seeing that stumbling debate performance, particularly in the early moments of the debate, the first half an hour, when some of his answers were incoherent at best.
Which is why the gaffes are so frustrating for him and for his team, because everybody around the world, and let's be honest, aside from people like you who are paid to be there, the rest of the world didn't sit through the full press conference. All they have read this morning or last night are headlines about the two gaffes, and the clips are obviously being played everywhere. So it's actually, despite maybe a reasonable performance in terms of how it might affect the polls or general perception, it's another very damaging night for him. And that's the brutal reality, fair or otherwise.
Right. It's almost a worst case scenario for Democrats outside of the Biden campaign, in that the gaffes will continue to damage him. They're evidence that Joe Biden continues to make mistakes that are reinforcing the public perception that he is too old. But Joe Biden's performance over the course of the 60 minutes is going to encourage the president and encourage those within his campaigns that he has enough fuel left in the tank to continue on and to press ahead. And I think that that's what a lot of Democrats are particularly concerned about, that Joe Biden isn't so disastrous that he pulls out and hands the reins over to someone else, but that he proceeds on grievously wounded going into the autumn face-off against Donald Trump, and that weakens him to such an extent that he has a real uphill climb to try to beat the Republican.
Anthony, I'm fascinated for your read on how this is going to play out. The context of just the last week, George Clooney wrote a piece in the New York Times, and I guessed editorial almost. Mm-hmm. And, it's maybe it speaks ill of our society, but somebody like Clooney just managed to capture the imagination. But also, his piece was quite damning in that he's a huge supporter of the Democratic Party, of Biden, a huge fundraiser. And he talked about being at a fundraising event recently. And in effect, he said, at that event, I saw the same Joe Biden that we all saw on debate night. And the time has come, Joe, to dot, dot, dot. Equally, we're seeing Democrats stepping forward. Too many to mention: Senator Peter Welch, Representatives Greg Staunton, Ned Case, Brad Schneider, Hillary Scholten, Earl Blumenauer, Pat Ryan, on and on it goes. Stepping forward publicly now, saying Joe Biden should step aside. So there is a real weight behind the request for him to step aside. How will this play out, do you think, Anthony? And obviously timelines here are very important.
It's almost like a hurdle race, right? Joe Biden, maybe he cleared the hurdle last night despite the gaffes, did well enough to stay in the race. Now we'll see whether he can weather this drip of Democrats coming out against him, calling for him to be replaced. Most of those Democrats are lower profile ones in the House of Representatives. The big guns, people like Nancy Pelosi or Hakeem Jeffries, who's the minority leader in the House of Representatives, or Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democratic leader, or even Barack Obama, they've held their tongues. And that could really change if any of them spoke out. And then other hurdles include how he does on the campaign trail. He's going to Michigan today. He's hitting a bunch of key swing states. How does he look on the stump? He has a sit-down interview on Monday with Lester Holt of NBC News, one of the anchors of a major network. That, again, gives the opportunity for Joe Biden either to show he still has it, but also the potential for him to make the kind of mistake that will set off another round of Democratic panic about his ability to conduct this campaign. You mentioned the timeline, and the Democratic convention is at the end of August, but there's a talk of doing a virtual nomination sometime even before that, where delegates, Joe Biden's delegates, who he won in the Democratic process, in the primary process, gather virtually to make him the nominee. Originally, that was to avoid a problem of getting Joe Biden's name on the ballot in Ohio. That has somewhat been resolved, but the Democrats are pushing ahead with this plan. So the timeline is a matter of weeks, because if something doesn't change, Joe Biden could be voted on as the nominee for his party as early as the end of July.
Yeah, I think in reality, that'd be disastrous. It's just the feel over here. The Obamas are interesting. George Clooney reportedly reached out to Barack Obama before he went ahead with that Times piece, for instance. And the reporting in Politico is that Obama didn't encourage the piece, but nor did he try to stop the piece. And you suspect if he had tried to stop the piece, he could have. And CNN are reporting that Obama has met Nancy Pelosi recently to discuss their concerns. And the line that jumped out to me is, neither is sure what to do.
Yeah, that's the conundrum. All of this really still rests in Joe Biden's hands. There's not much anyone else can do to push Joe Biden out of the race if he doesn't want to go. And he said over the course of the 2 weeks, he is in this to keep pressing ahead. And he's been counted out before. He's been knocked down before, and he's managed to prevail. He still believes he can beat Donald Trump. And quite honestly, the polls indicate that he is still neck and neck with Donald Trump. You know, I mentioned about how stable this race has been and how, despite Donald Trump's, say, criminal conviction just a few months ago, that hasn't changed things either. And a poll that came out today, a prominent poll, had Joe Biden ahead of Donald Trump by a couple of percentage points. There was one yesterday that had him down by one percentage point. So Joe Biden isn't convinced that he will lose this. He wants to stick around. So what you have are Democrats and reports of Democrats behind the scenes, like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, trying to figure out a way of convincing Joe Biden to change his mind, but not, you know, there's no switch they can flip to get him out. They have to convince him it is time for him to go. And that appears to be an increasingly difficult task. If you watched him last night, he did look like a guy who was facing a cold, hard reality. He looked like someone who was ready to keep fighting.
That's true. One last thought. The New York Times were reporting that for the first time, the Biden campaign, very quietly, you know, I mean, even they can't be immune to the pressures. They have quietly done some polling to test how Kamala Harris matches up against Trump. Just, I guess, in case worst case scenario were to ensue. Why hasn't, because I'm not there day to day, why hasn't Kamala Harris landed with the American public over the last couple of years?
Well, one of the things is it's very hard to get your own identity as the vice president because you're always in the shadow of the person who's sitting in the Oval Office. She's been given some assignments. One was finding the root causes, addressing the root causes of the immigration crisis at the border that she somewhat stumbled with. There have been other things she's done, got well, good reviews on, such as talking about abortion and women's rights. That is nothing that has allowed her really to step out from Joe Biden's shadow. Then there are also people who remember the campaign she ran in 2019 when she ran for the presidential nomination against Joe Biden and a host of other Democrats. And that campaign collapsed because of poor messaging, because of some bad interviews that Kamala Harris did, because of a campaign that was not run particularly well. And I think a lot of Democrats remember that. So that's the challenge she is facing. Although, you know, I have watched her over the past few years, and she has gotten a little more comfortable in the spotlight. And I think she's gotten better at speaking in public. And she does, that would be a contrast in energy to Joe Biden, which is why a lot of the people who are saying Joe Biden should step aside say that there is someone there, Kamala Harris, who can step in and change the dynamics of this race.
The BBC's North American correspondent, Anthony Zercher. Anthony, thank you.
My pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.